Today, as we begin another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, I urge you and I invite you to stay tuned to our program today. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for the More Abundant Life. This radio broadcast is one which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today's title is Humble Yourself Before the Lord. You probably wouldn't want just anybody saying that to you, including me. But when the message comes from the Lord, you really can't argue with that. So I invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Phipps presents this title today, Humble Yourself Before the Lord. Because we want to get the whole message in our short time slot here on The More Abundant Life, we're going to skip our usual special music and get right to the message.
Have your Bibles with you. Go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. The book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." There's a whole lot of I up in here. "I will be like whom? The Most High." And verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" May God add a blessing to the reading of his word today. My Seabrook family, it has become increasingly clear to me that outside of the word of God, there are no practical explanations for the origin of sin. When we consider the many mysteries of sin, its power, its penalties, we are struck by how much we do not know about sin. There's a lot we don't know about sin. But here's what we do know. We know that Solomon told us that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We know that John said that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We know that Romans, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. We know that sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that all sinners have a heart problem. I said we know that all sinners have a heart problem. Because sin is a problem of the heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 29, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?" No one can. We know, said Jeremiah, that the heart is deceitful above some things, above all things, and desperately wicked. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. Now, to be in a room with someone who's wicked is one thing, but to be in that room with someone who's desperately wicked is another. And Jeremiah tells us, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." Now, here's what we do know. We know that sin started with an angel who, next to Jesus, was the one most honored by the Father. That mighty angel's name was Lucifer. And before iniquity was found in his heart, Lucifer found his purest and greatest delight in reflecting the glory of God. That was Lucifer's job. His job was to stand near God and reflect the glory of God. For Lucifer, his highest joy was found in fulfilling the high purpose of his creator. But somewhere in that perfect heaven, a change began to take place in the heart of he who was first among the cherubs. A change began to take place in the heart of this mighty angel who was holy and undefiled. Boy, I tell you, you really have to stay on your knees, because if one who is holy and undefiled can be brought to that base level, who are we? See, every day of his life, Lucifer stood in the presence of the Creator. Every day of his life, Lucifer basked in the streaming light of God's unrefracted glory. Don't miss that word, unrefracted. It just simply means that there was nothing that shielded him from the glory of God. Every day, the light of God's eternal majesty left an indescribable radiance upon Lucifer's face. He was called Son of the Morning. But even though God was the source of all this glory, this mighty angel began to feel that the light that illuminated his face and countenance originated from within himself. Lucifer began to believe that his beauty was something he could take credit for. It reminds me of that woodpecker who was pecking on the trunk of a dead tree when suddenly lightning struck the tree and splintered it. The woodpecker flew away unharmed, but looking back to where the dead tree had stood, that proud woodpecker exclaimed, "Wow, look what I just did." The devil looked at his beauty. Lucifer looked at his beauty and said, "Wow, look at me. Look how beautiful I am. Look how intelligent I am." And he refused to give God the glory, began taking personal credit for what God had created him to be. And that's why in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, God says to Lucifer, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." God called him perfect in beauty. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You are the anointed cherub." Have mercy. The anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. But thine heart was lifted up because of what? Thy beauty. Oh my God. His heart was lifted up because of what? His what? His beauty. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." In other words, Lucifer's wisdom became corrupted because he was so bright and beautiful. He lost his mind. He lost his ability to reason spiritually. I read a story of one day after a minister had preached a soul-searching sermon. A woman who had heard the sermon waited upon him and told him that she was deeply convicted by the message and in much distress. "Sir," said the lady, "I would like to confess to you a great sin I have committed." The minister asked her what the sin was. She answered, "The sin of pride, for I sat for an hour before my mirror some days ago just admiring my beauty." "Oh, dear sister," said the minister, "that was not a sin of pride. That was a sin of imagination." Lucifer was deceived. Are you with me today? He felt he was worthy of being in the same room with God. God, speaking of Lucifer, thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Church, we do not know what madness possessed Lucifer to believe that he was worthy of the praise and honor given to God. It was insanity. It was insanity for Lucifer to think that he had the same right to exercise the prerogatives of divinity. Insane. Even the angels, as they listened to his pet peeves and his faulty reasoning, they could tell that he was on a slippery slope headed for destruction. They urged him to change his course, and he wouldn't do it. They implored him not to disturb the peace of heaven. Finally, God the Father, in a bold, preventive strike, called the heavenly host together, and he said, he is my son. Jesus is my son. Whatever I am, he is. Wherever he is, it is as though I am there. Whatever he says, I've said it. Whatever he does, I've done it. And Lucifer went out trying to win over the loyalty and allegiance of some of the angels. And he was so slick. He tried to make it appear that he was just trying to win back to God the loyalty of disaffected angels. You got to understand what he was doing here. He was trying to make it seem that these angels were going astray and he was trying to bring them back, when in actuality he was being deceptive. It's called deception. It's called subterfuge. He even made it appear that his purpose was to promote loyalty to God and preserve the harmony and peace of heaven. But in reality, he was secretly engineering and fomenting a dangerous form of discord, dissension, and division. I want you to know that Lucifer is alive and well in too many churches today. Because in too many churches, there are people who go around trying to appear like they have the best good of the church at heart. But it is subterfuge. It is deception. They are fomenting a dangerous form of discord and dissension and division, and God will judge them. Just like he judged Lucifer in too many churches. You know, the Lord told me something that shook me one day, and I still, when I think about it, I am shaken by it. Jesus told me that his church has grown more by division, discord, and dissension than by evangelism. If you think about it, you go to any city and you will see First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist. They didn't plant those churches. You go look at our denomination, and you're going to see churches here, churches there. They didn't grow out of love and evangelism. They grew out of discord, dissension, and division. There are so many today who, like Lucifer, they have been seduced by the presumptuousness of their chosenness. They think just because they've been chosen by God and they know the truth that they can carry on God's work any way they want to. The truth is, Lucifer felt that it was his right, listen carefully, to be included in the secret deliberations of the Trinity. The Bible said that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible tells us that a man's pride will bring him low. John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And what did you do, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Did you miss that? John said, whatever you got, God gave it to you. Why don't you act like you received it? Pride is the very essence of sin. Beware of pride. One poet says, some are proud of their lace. That's what they wear. Others are proud of their race. Others of their place. You know, folks come, I was born in. Yeah. I am from. Others of their face. Well, I have even met people who were proud of their humility. I heard a preacher once say of his church, when it comes to humility, we're tops. Proud of their humility. Spiritual pride is a most dangerous kind of pride. And God says, address this today. Spiritual pride is a dangerous kind of pride. One pastor told of how a member of his church came to him with an air of pride and said, I've been through the Bible 5 times this year. The pastor looked at him and said, how often has the Bible been through you? Spiritual pride, it's a dangerous kind of pride. One rabbi said that pride and envy, with which even the pious among us seem infected, form the greatest menace to our spiritual integrity. Pride. Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everybody sick of you while you don't even realize you have it. Are you listening to me? It was pride that turned Lucifer into Satan. It was pride that Satan used to tempt Eve. He said to Eve, you'll be like God. The British scholar William Barclay wrote, pride is the ground in which all the other sins grow. It is the parent from which all the other sins come. Allow me to ask, pray tell, what does a sinful person have to be really proud of? You sure can't be proud of your ancestry. You know, yesterday I was blown away in Portland, Oregon last night. A lady came to me, a Caucasian lady in tears, and she said to me, I have a dear friend who is an African-American sister. And she said, and she gave me her name, and her last name was Newton. She said, I'm a descendant of John Newton. And she said, and I've had this friend for 25 years, and we just decided that we were going to trace our backgrounds. And wouldn't you know it, she said, we traced her family to the very ship that my forefather, John Newton, captained. Amazing. One man said, our father was Adam. We don't have a lot to be proud of. You know that. When we go back, we see a whole lot of mess in our background. Amen. So you can come here looking as respectable, but you and I know that if you go just a couple of generations back, you're going to find some of the worst vices and problems in your family and in my family. This preacher said, our father was Adam. What do you expect? Our grandfather was dust, and our great grandfather was nothing. Did you hear that? You missed that. Think about that for a minute. Our father was Adam, our grandfather was dust, and our great-grandfather was nothing. So much for that family tree. Martin Luther said it this way. He said it this way. God created the world out of nothing, and as long as we are nothing, he can make something out of us. Sin entered the world because of pride and envy. It is a source of iniquity. Jeremiah said, God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by your power. When he opens the door, God is an awesome, powerful God. You know that. When he opens a door, nobody can shut it. Amen? But I want to share with you today on this problem of pride. Pride always leads to backsliding. You may be shipwrecked while docked safely in the harbor if pride is your cargo. Do
Did you hear me today? You can be lost like Lot's wife holding the angel's hand if pride is in your heart. Pride always results from overvaluing yourself and undervaluing others. When you truly understand who Christ is, your pride and self-importance will melt away. Because there is an inherent incompatibility between arrogance and the presence of God in your heart. The proud person depends upon himself rather than on God, and that causes God's guiding influence to leave his life. When God's presence is welcomed, on the other hand, there is no room for pride because he makes you aware of who you really are. God lets you see yourself the way you really are, and you can't walk around with your head up in the sky. Pride undermines our faith. You see, Jesus could have done greater miracles in Nazareth where he was from, but he chose not to because of the people's pride. They missed out on the miracles of Jesus because they were too proud. Jesus looked elsewhere, and that's where a friend of mine taught me, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Amen. That's the message here. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Pride can cut us off from God. Pride, God telling me, take my time, because sometimes I feel like I want to rush, but the Lord says, slow down. Pride distorts our view of ourselves. Makes us think that we are normal. And we take another step further, it makes us think that we are not just normal, but normative. That means that we are the standard for others. Your first problem is thinking that you're normal. None of us are. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity, we are not normal. Neither are we normative for others. Pride distorts our view of ourselves and others. Yes, pride makes you look down on other people. It distorts your view of other people. Pride blinds you to your own faults, and it magnifies the faults of others. The Bible warns that pride is the surest route to self-destruction. It was pride that led Lucifer down that road, and was pride that kept him there long after he knew he was wrong. The servant of the Lord tells us this way. Listen carefully. She says, it was too great a sacrifice for Lucifer, who had been so highly honored, to confess that he had been wrong. Pride kept Lucifer from confessing that he was wrong. A compassionate creator in yearning pity for Lucifer and his followers was seeking to draw him back away from the abyss of ruin into which they were about to plunge, but the mercy of God was misinterpreted. Remember, pride causes you to misinterpret other people. It caused Lucifer to misinterpret God. Don't miss that. Lucifer, the servant of God says, pointed to God's long suffering as evidence of Lucifer's own superiority over God, and as a sign that God, weakened by the strength of Lucifer's arguments, would finally yield to Lucifer's terms. Pride, I'm talking about it today. Pride caused Lucifer to think that God was just weak when all God was doing was being patient. Are you listening to me? Pride caused Lucifer to see God's patience as a sign of God giving in and capitulating to his demands. And careful today, Lucifer tricked the angels who stood with him. I tell you, he is a terrible, terrible dude. Because he tricked the angels. You know what? Servant of the Lord tells us that he went to them and said, you know, you've already decided to come with me, and God's not going to forgive you for that. Listen. The servant of the Lord tells us that so far as Satan was concerned, it was true that he had gone too far to return. But not so with those who had been blinded by his deceptions. Listen. Had they heeded the warning, they might have broken away from Satan's snare. All those 30 of the angels that were thrown out, it wasn't too late for them. Pride. But why? The same thing that got Lucifer in trouble was what got them in trouble. What was it? Pride. Now God had to let sin run its course. Friends, for all of us, no matter how far down we have gone in life, we must never believe the devil's lie. With God's mercy and forgiveness, if you only humble yourself, no matter how far you have fallen, humble yourself. God says in Leviticus 26, verse 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Oh my, did you hear that? God says, if you will not only humble yourself, but humble yourself enough to accept the punishment of your iniquity. God says, then will I remember my covenant.
That brings us to the end of our message today and to the end of our program. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that you understood the message. I trust that it is a blessing to you and to your family. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 192. That will give you the title, Humble Yourself Before the Lord. The phone number at the church office again is 301-577-6342. And be sure to ask for program number 192. Also, if you would like to visit Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. That's in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney, wishing you God's richest blessings. But please join us again for another program. Until then, though, remember the words in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.